You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Today's a very special day, and I've got a message for you that's really going to reset your faith, challenge your faith. Beginning of last year, the Lord spoke to us about going higher, deeper, and wider. Reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out. And gave us a strategy of 300. 300. Gideon was not a 33,000 that gave the victory. It was the 300. If God is with 300, you'll see unusual miracles. And one thing that I've seen in life is that many people don't keep their miracle, the blessing, because they don't maintain it. In John 5 verse 14, the Lord says something very interesting after the man was healed at the pool of Bethesda. He says, afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you've been made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Have you read that? He says, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Why does he say that? Because many people are just looking for healing and deliverance, but they're not looking for a relationship with Jesus. But when you've been healed through the righteousness of Christ Jesus, you should be very careful what you do after that. What is the thing that produces miracles? What produces healing? What produces deliverance? That's a very good question to ask. If you want to be healed, if you want to be delivered, if you're looking for a breakthrough, what is it that produces healings, miracles, and deliverances? Have you ever asked yourself that question? It's the righteousness of God. And that righteousness is a gift. Remember, when Jesus healed the man with a withered hand, he said, "What's easier, to say be healed or to say your sins are forgiven?" He said it's the same thing. Why? Because it's righteousness that brings salvation, but it's righteousness that brings healing and deliverance. So if you've been healed by the righteousness of God and you want to go and practice unrighteousness afterwards, be very careful that something worse does not happen to you. And this is where many people blaspheme and say, "God healed you, but now you're not healed anymore." Because many people have received their blessing, but after they receive their blessing, you don't find them in church anymore. Am I talking to the right people here? Some of you, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? You need healing, you come to church, you get your healing, then you leave church. And later on, you're sick again. Later on, you're broke again. Oh, it's very quiet here this morning. So he says, don't sin lest the worst thing happen to you. We are here to change mindsets this morning, to move away from maintenance to miracle. Turn to the person next to you, say, the best is yet to come. So let me take you on a journey to show you how much hope there is and how much God loves you and how God wants to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Who of you know that you've messed up? Who of you at a place that you wonder, I wonder if God will ever help me because I've messed up so many times? Just wave at me. If you don't want to wave, just double blink. Okay. Well, this message is for you. Look at this. Judges 6 verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel. The Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, in the caves, in the strongholds. Wherever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, they would just come and destroy everything. You can go read it. I'm not going to read all of that. There's a lot of reading. But the Bible says, and then they cried out to the Lord. I love this. Have you ever messed up? But at the end of the day, when you were tired and sick and tired of being sick and tired, you cried out to the Lord. Turn to the person next to you and say, reach up. Say it again, say, reach up. They're the ones who are doing evil. They're the ones that have messed up. But they cried out to God. Many times, the challenges that we are facing, the difficulties that we are facing, we're the cause. We want to blame people and situations and circumstances, but many times it's us. He said, don't serve other gods. Says, serve the Lord your God and Him alone. The land where I'm placing you, don't serve their gods. Don't serve their gods. When you cry out to God, expect instruction in righteousness. Many of us just want a blessing. But God does not just want us to see the miracle. He wants us to learn His ways. According to Galatians 5 verse 22, the fruits of the Spirit. He wants us to know the fruits of the Spirit. So that we can live in love, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I hope I'm helping some of you here this morning. That we can break these cycles once and for all. Verse 7 says, and when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of the slavery of Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. Can I just say, let's listen to God. God has done a miracle in this country. A miracle in this country. But we've started to wander away from God. We've lost our focus. And that's why many people are finding themselves like the Israelites hiding in caves. You know, the Bible says there were so many of these Midianites that came on camels that fear gripped their hearts, that they were hiding. And they went into a maintenance mentality, just trying to survive. Whereas God wants to take them from where they are to where He wants them to be. Everything that was planted got stolen. Everything they had, they were stripped, they were robbed. When we look at this, many times what we are going through is because of what we've done. But God is so merciful to help us. You know, I love Psalm 25. It says, do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O God. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. Family, where we've gone astray, God wants to show us the proper path. Not focus on the sins and the stupidity of our youth, but to focus upon His love and His mercy. That's the God that we serve. God of second chances. Psalm 51 verse 16 says, you do not desire a sacrifice or I would offer it. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. If we come to God in humility and sincerity of heart, He will change your situation. He will take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. God looks at our heart. Not at all the mistakes that you've made. One mistake does not become your identity. Your identity is who God sees in you. So when you reach up and you say, God, help! Guess what's the next thing He's going to do? He's going to reach in and tell you what to do. Turn to the person next to you, say, get ready for change. Say, get ready for heaven's opinion about yourself. I love this part, Judges 6 verse 12. Look at this. He cries up, he gets instruction, and now God comes to Gideon to speak to him. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Turn to the person next to you and say, mighty hero. Now ask them, did you believe that? Let me see who feels like a hero here. Just raise your hand. He comes to him. And he says, mighty hero. Another translation says, mighty man of valor. Mighty man of God. Here's Gideon's response. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors talked about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt and now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites? Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. He doesn't say to him, the Lord will be your strength. Go. He doesn't say to him, when you are weak, I will manifest my strength. He says, go in the strength you have. Listen to me. There's enough word in you to do what you have to do. Stop making excuses. Many of us are waiting for God to do a miracle before we will move. And God is waiting for you to move so that He can do a miracle. Turn to the person that you say, change your mindset. We have to get out of this mindset of maintenance so that God can do a miracle. We say, God, do the miracle, then I'll move. God says, you move, then I'll do the miracle. He's immediately there. I mean, this is a Christian quote. Lord, if you are with me, why am I going through this? Let me see if you've ever asked that. If you're with me. Family, listen to me. The enemy will always come and challenge your sonship. He'll always come and challenge your sonship. He said that to Jesus. He says, if you are the Son of God, why are you going through this? If you're the Son of God, why are you hungry? If you're a Son of God, why? You know, I love this. God doesn't even answer Gideon. He just says, go in the strength that I've given you. Go in your strength. There's enough word on the inside of you to move forward. I almost want to say, call it hero strength. Because he first called him a hero, and then he says, go in your strength. Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, you've got hero strength on the inside of you. You're waiting for God, but God's waiting for you. Have you ever felt like a zero and then God called you a hero? You feel like a zero and God says, I see in you a hero. The enemy is that you fear that you are hiding yourself. He says, I want you to go and face them now. I want you to be one with the difference. God, if you are with me, why are all these things happening? God, where are the miracles? God, I'm sure that you've abandoned me. Am I talking to the right people here? Don't raise your hands, just double wink at me. The Lord goes, I mean, have you been down and out? And the Lord comes to you and he says, go in your strength that you have. And you think, strength? God, what are you talking about? Family, the deposit that God has placed on the inside, that mustard seed faith, is enough to move a mountain. You are saved by grace through faith. Let me tell you something. Faith is something you have, whether you like it or not. We are saved by grace through faith. Where did you get that faith? That faith was deposited on the inside of you, a strength that God has placed there, that he can speak to every Gideon here today and say, go in the strength, go in the deposit that I've made on the inside and move from where you are to where God wants you to be. Reach up, reach in, reach out. Sometimes when you reach up and God reaches in, it's going to take some guts to reach out. He's hiding from the enemy. And God says to him, I want you to go face the enemy. Family, that thing which you are hiding from, running from, God says, let's face it. That's the biblical way. I don't want to go off the topic, but even David ran towards Goliath, not away from Goliath. But he had an attitude and a mindset not to maintain. They just wanted him to be, the rest of Israel just wanted him to be calm and not cause more friction. David says, no. We're running towards the problem. There's enough word in you to be a mighty man, to be a hero. Will you act upon that word? Because faith acts now, faith believes now, and faith receives now. You know, I think many of us have got Gideonitis. You know what Gideonitis is? It's the ability to make excuses when heaven speaks to you. Some of us have got severe cases of Gideonitis. God says, I want to use you as a hero, as a mighty man. And you say, did you see what family I come from? And even in the family that I come from, I'm the least. God says, why are we talking about this? Go, go. Mustard seed faith is enough to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. He finds himself in a wine press. Crushing wheat. Can I just talk about that? It's not the ideal place to do what you're supposed to do. Sometimes you find yourself in a wine press and you're going through that time and season, but don't remain there. He is so used to being at that place crushing wheat in the winepress, that's all he sees. Some of us find ourselves in situations and circumstances for such a long time because we had to run away. Fear has gripped our hearts that we're just trying to maintain that. The little bit of wheat that I've got, let me just crush that. Hope I'm talking to some people here. Wine press, crushing of wheat, speaks of a way of thinking that needs to change, transformation. Wheat that you transform. A wine press, grapes that you transform to become wine. Transformation. Turn to the person next to you and say, change your way of thinking. Gideon is stuck in that place, and his excuses for God to remain there is his family, who he is, and because he's afraid. Excuses will never work with God. I've tried it. Change your mindset. Turn to the person next to you and say, change your mindset. Change your mindset, number one, from just looking for a blessing and be a blessing. Can I say that again? Most people that come to church, most people are just looking for a blessing. And God says, I want you to be a blessing. And the blessing that you get, you're just trying to maintain it. Can I say this? Christians don't seek blessings. Can I have one amen? Christians don't seek blessings. Christians seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all those things follow him. The enemy has got us into a trap where we are running after blessings and we're no longer seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It looks very similar, but when you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, those things will follow. We don't run after those things. Turn to the person that you say, change your mindset. If you want to move from zero to hero, you're going to have to change your way of thinking, the way that you look at things. So what's the first thing that you're going to have to do? You're going to take a step of faith, where fear has gripped your heart. Say, God, I'm going to believe you. And believe heaven's opinion about you. The angel comes to him and starts telling him things about himself that he doesn't even know. Hero. I heard zero. You're calling me zero, Lord? Yes, I know that. No. I'm saying hero. Zero? No, hero. Some of your mindsets, even when you hear hero, you're thinking, yes, other people, not me, I'm zero. Turn to the person next to you, say, whether you like it or not, you're a hero. You're a mighty man, mighty woman. Family, listen to me. Even if you are the cause, you know, Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. But even in that state, God is ready to help us and to show us what is the way out. That's the God that we serve. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Passion Translation says, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. It's normal to go through tests. But God will be faithful to you. Not you faithful. God is faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. Gideon, I know you're in the wine press. I know you're crushing wheat. I know you see yourself as a zero. But I've got a plan to get you out of that and take you to a place where you can be a hero. God has a victorious outcome for you. Do you believe that? Can I tell you something? You know what is one of the biggest things that we do as Christians? There's a time to be in the wine press. There's a time to crush wheat in the wine press. But then there's a time to move out of it. But some of us are so used to that place that we want to maintain it and we want to keep it. The Lord has forgiven you, declared you free, but you still keep yourself in the cage of condemnation of what you did wrong 2 years ago. God has said, move on, and wants to take you into new relationships, but some of you are still standing locked behind the door of singleness. I'd rather be single than step out again and see if I can love somebody. Can I speak to those who don't forgive themselves? Sometimes it's easy to forgive others, but can you forgive yourself for the mistakes that you've made? Now it's getting very quiet. Turn to the person next to you and say, just forgive yourself. Gideon is not doing anything wrong where he is, but he's so used to being at that place that he's just maintaining that position. Many times you're not doing anything wrong, but you're just maintaining that place. But God wants to take you from maintenance to miracle. Turn to the person next to you and say, get ready to move from maintenance to miracle. Why is that wrong? Why is that wrong to stay there? If you're going through a season and God is teaching you something, that's fine. But John 10:10 says that Christ came to bring us life and life in abundance, superior in quality and superabundant in quantity. So he does not want us to stay there. He wants to take you to a new level in life. But sometimes we hold on and God says, I want to move you on. Are you ready to cry out? Psalm 34, I love it. When I had nothing, desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord. I reached up and he heard me, bringing his miracle deliverance when I needed it most. Even when you feel defeated. Have you felt defeated? Have you felt at a place where I wanted to give up? I've been there. I've been there where I wanted to run away. But I cried out to God. When you reach up, God hears. Amen? Gideon is not living in sin, but he's living in a place where God does not want him to be. God says, I want to take you from maintenance to miracle. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm now tired of maintenance. I want to walk in the miracle. It's time to move from maintenance to miracle. Turn to the person next to you and say, maintenance to miracle. So now, when God wants to do that, Gideonitis, a flare of Gideonitis will come. No excuse of your family will do. No excuse of your tribe will do. You know, sometimes we want to discuss our past. He says, if you are with me, Lord, why am I going through all of this? Lord, if you say you are with me, why is my child not saved yet? Lord, if you say you are with me, why is the double doors of mercy not opened yet? Because some of us will have such a long discussion with God about our past that we'll miss what he wants to do right now. You cannot move forward while looking backwards. It's a false humility to want to stay in that place of crushing wheat when God wants to take you to a place of life and life in abundance. Am I talking to the right people here today? Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm tired of maintenance. Say, I'm tired of maintenance. Why? Because our past is a place of defeat and failure. But your future is a place where God sees you as a hero. So you want to go talk about your past. God, where were you? Why did these things happen? And God says, if you start talking about defeat and failure now, how am I going to use you with 300 men to give victory? What are you thinking about? What are you meditating about? You know, I love this quote from Stephen Pressfield. I actually got this from my daughter's status on her WhatsApp. It says, the more scared we are of a work or a calling, the more sure we can be that we have to do it. Anytime when you see, do not be afraid, and read in the Bible, do not be afraid, it's just another way of saying, have faith. Whose report will you believe? Who are you going to focus upon? You have to get heaven's report about you. And when heaven looks at you, heaven sees you as a hero. Heaven sees you as a mighty man, a mighty woman of God. What are you going to do? Faith acts now, faith believes now, faith receives now. I'm going to close with this. Gideon feels like a failure. He sees himself as the least. He sees his family as the least. And God looks at him and says, I see in you a hero. How will you respond? He says, well, if you're with me, why are all these things happening? God says, go in the strength that I've given you. The strength that's on the inside. There's enough word on the inside of you to move forward. Can I have one amen? Amen. I know most South Africans at least know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him will not perish. Am I right? So if you've got that, that's enough for you to move forward. He says to Gideon, listen here, you are called to save a nation. You are called to save a nation. Not do ordinary things, extraordinary things. So he says, okay, let's do it. I'm wrapping up quickly. He says, get the people together and 33,000 pitch up. Most of us would just be grateful and think, wow, what a miracle. 33,000 people came. The Lord says, if you go into battle now, you'll get the glory. Tell those that are afraid, let them go home. And 22,000 leave. There's 10,000 left. And he says, not going to do it. You said, where are the miracles? You said, if God is with me, where's the miracles? You said that. He said, okay, Judges 4:7. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring and I will test them to determine who will go. I want to say to you, the testing that you've been going through is to determine if you are qualified to be one of the 300. Ha ha. Ha ha. It's not to destroy you. It's to see if you qualify to be one of the 300. You know what's one of the things? The enemy that they were scared of, that was causing fear to grip their hearts. You know what God does? God goes and speaks into their dreams and makes them afraid. When God is with you, you don't have to be afraid of your enemies. Let me tell you something. Your enemy is afraid of you because they're dreaming about you. They're dreaming about what God is going to do in you, with you, and through you. But how will you respond? What seemed ordinary in the natural had an extraordinary effect in the spirit. I want to close with this. Gideon says, he says, if God is with us, where's the miracles? Because if God is with me, we'll see the miracles. I'm going to close with the New Testament, Mark 16. Mark 16 and Matthew. What does the Lord say to Gideon? He says, go. Go in your strength. What does he say to the disciples? Saying to us in Mark 16, he says, go into the world. Am I right? He says, go into the world, Mark 16, verse 17. Go into the world, preach the gospel. He says, and these miraculous signs and miracles will follow those who believe. You'll see sign wonders and miracles. Let me see, who of you believe that God is with you? Do you know what Matthew wrote? Matthew didn't write and say, go into the world, preach the gospel, and all these signs and wonders and miracles will happen. You know what Matthew said? Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Ha ha, family, listen to me. Matthew didn't say signs, wonders, and miracles will follow. He says, God is with you. If God is with you and you take that step, expect God to do a miracle. Stop using all the mistakes as an excuse. Israel did evil, but when they reached up, allowed God to reach in, they could reach out. Your mistakes can no longer be an excuse. When you cry out to God, he's going to speak to you. And the one thing that he's going to tell you is, hero, I want you to go in the strength. Go in your strength. I've made a deposit on the inside of you. The word of God that's on the inside is enough to move you from zero to hero. Now it's your decision. What will you do? If God is with you, you know you can expect a miracle.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.